Welcome to the Portland Yacht Services podcast series. Our podcast series is dedicated to education for the boat industry. And for more information, go to www.portlandyacht.com. Well, hi there, and we welcome you back to the Portland Yacht Services podcast series. We are very lucky and fortunate to live in a great state where we can fish year-round, thousands of bodies of water. Not only a great sport, a great activity, but it's also a multi-million dollar business here in the state of Maine. But today, it's all about bass fishing, from boats to topwater frogs and everything else in between. My name is Norm Karkos, glad to have you with us here. And I am joined by Jason Curtis, who is the Vice President of Operations at Portland Yacht Services and an angler himself. What's the largest fish you've caught recently here, Jason?
Probably a 5.25 is my largest fish, so small compared to some of them.
You like to fish in any day that ends in Y, from
any
what I understand, right?
Y.
All right, and also joining us today, Steve Wilson, the president of the Maine Bass Nation, not the Federation, but the Nation.
Good job.
Okay, well, good afternoon, and you got quite an honor of being the president.
Pleased to be here. Yeah, I guess it kind of boils down to the fact that I can't run as fast as everybody else.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm back again.
And Rob Williamson, who's a tournament angler, you've been out around the whole state, and you've been doing this pretty much for your whole life, and you've seen firsthand how these tournaments have grown in the state, Rob.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I've been fishing competitively for quite a few years and all around the country, not just Maine and New England.
Yeah. Well, today it's all about bass fishing, so let's go around the table here. What's the big appeal? What is it about catching that big largemouth bass, that 4.5 pounder, or in Jason's case, the 5.2 there? Jason?
I guess it's the hunt is part of it. It's the challenge of catching the fish that you don't know where they are. It's different every day. You think they're one, you may fish a pre-fish on a Friday and they're in one spot. You go there on Saturday morning, and they're not there. They're somewhere else. So you have to figure it out. It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's not so much the actual fishing part. It's the competition. I could be throwing darts at a dartboard against you or somebody else, and somebody wins and somebody loses. I like the competition. Mm-hmm. It heats up sometimes, but it's about the competition.
Yeah. Rob?
And for me, it's a combination of the two. I'm very competitive. I get really jacked up at a tournament, but I love the idea that fishing is like a puzzle, trying to put the pieces together. That's really fascinating to me. Like Jason said, never knowing what's going to be out there on the end of your line.
Yeah, and we have so many wonderful lakes and ponds out here, I mean, especially this time of the year in the fall where we can still bass fish, have to go a little deeper. But we are very fortunate to have what we have in the state, which I think appeals to a lot of people to go bass fishing as well, not just the hunt, but the scenery as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got some of the best lakes in the country around here. That's a secret. We don't want to broadcast that too much.
Yeah.
But we've got hundreds and hundreds of lakes that just have a diversity of fish.
Yeah. The majority of our lakes are glacial lakes as opposed to man-made lakes, and the fishing's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, Steve, on that note, as president of the Maine Bass Nation, what is the mission here? What is the mission of the Maine Bass Nation, per se?
Well, we're a chapter of National Bass, Bass Angler Sportsman Society, so our mission has to fall in line with theirs. Mm-hmm. It's a three-legged stool. It's tournament fishing, it's youth, and it's conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing that to the members of the Maine Bass Nation and ideally the occupants of the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. It's our goal.
Yeah. Rob, what have you noticed with the Maine Bass Nation over your years and how it's evolved and what it's done to really keep up with the times, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely the most prominent organization in the state and I believe in the country because they reach out to the angler. They kind of bring everyone into the fold. They're looking to make everybody better anglers and protect the sport and the species. You know, mm-hmm. tournament fishing, people don't realize it's a sport we're catching and we're releasing everything we catch. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be able to do this without doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're penalized in tournaments if we bring in dead fish, so it's really important to us. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and Jason, you've been fishing quite a while as well. You take your family out, don't you?
I do. I might start it out. Actually, I didn't. I'm 5 years into bass fishing. Mm-hmm. It started with my oldest boy. He wanted to fish. Next thing you know, we tried a tournament. Next thing you know, I'm fishing every other weekend, and it's an addiction now, and it's really fun.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned from youth to conservation. I mean, getting the kids involved. We have so many great generations of fishermen and anglers, I should say, men and women alike, regardless of the age, and it's really important to promote fishing at such a young age, isn't it?
It is. I mean, they're our future. You know, we say that with every business out there. It's the young people coming up. Same thing with the fishermen. Mm-hmm. The state of Maine's been promoting it pretty hard the last few years with their lifetime licenses. They encourage folks to buy those for their kids because they know that if they're not licensing up now, a lot of times when the kids hit college age, start working, if they aren't already hooked, we lose them. Mm-hmm. So the earlier, the better.
Yeah. Have you noticed a lot of, in the way of youth, I mean, junior and high school tournaments going on, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually run our junior program for our adult, you know, from our adult club. The kids and the interest in fishing is phenomenal. We don't often have enough spots and support to support all the kids that want to fish. Mm-hmm. But you really see as well, the kids that fish are a different breed. They're not all really hooked on the computers and sit in front of the TV and stuff like that. Getting kids in the outdoors is just, it's medicine for them, and it really gets them away from other things that they shouldn't be into, unlike any other sport, I believe.
Yeah, and really it's advantageous for a kid starting off. Not everyone can get on a boat, but you can just fish just as easily on the shore, and that's a start, Jason.
It's a start. It's a start. Yeah. You know, they can start on the shore. There's some shore tournaments, some derbies. My daughter Casey just got into it. Well, she was 7 years old when she started into it, and she is absolutely addicted, like Dad now. So, but you know, she really likes it, and that's the future of it, the kids coming up through.
And what about the conservation? Keeping this so other generations, keeping our lakes and ponds so other generations can catch healthy fish, obeying by the laws and the rules of what we have known here over the course of time to fish properly in the state.
Yeah, as Rob said, the catch and release program, that was actually started by bass years ago. Bass fishing, or bass, the actual fish, the bass, is kind of the only fish that's caught and released on a regular basis. The majority of the fish that are caught are cut and put on the table. Mm-hmm. And never caught again. So the catch and release all by itself, that's a huge conservation program that's been going on for over 35 years in the world of bass fishing. Mm-hmm. More recently, we've got other issues that we deal with, you know, just littering and plastic baits, and mm-hmm. now we're dealing with lead, trying mm-hmm. to get lead out of fishing. There's a lot of conservation-minded programs that are out there.
Yeah, speaking of, go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, and one of the really important things the nation does is tries to help and support IF&W in a lot of these initiatives, the plastics initiative. I know our junior club kids have put out canisters at boat ramps to help collect both used plastics and fishing lines, mm-hmm. Things like that, to try to take away that stigma and help teach other people, not just our tournament anglers, about the importance of keeping the lakes clean.
We've actually turned the collection of rubber baits into a tournament all by itself.
Right.
This year, all our clubs are going to be collecting plastics throughout the year, spent mm-hmm. plastics, yeah. and we're actually going to weigh them in next year at our state championship, and we're going to award prizes to the clubs that collect the most.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the new state regulations you're speaking of, right? On the lures expected to save on Maine loons, too, right? I mean, with the lead poisoning and some of the lines? Is that what you're alluding to as well?
Yeah, somewhat. There isn't any real rules on plastics. It's
right.
more a littering issue.
Right.
So it's important that the nation itself it steps up to be the leader and showing mm-hmm. the way, the importance of cleaning that stuff up. Yeah. The lead issue has to deal with the loons potentially picking up spent weights and things like that off the bottom of the lake, and it causes lead poisoning. So
right. mm-hmm.
There's been a big initiative across many states to try to eliminate lead products in fishing mm-hmm. and look to more different products use, you know, right. tungstens and bismuth and stuff like that.
Part of our deal is to try to educate the general public, too. You know, we've got 240 members, but right. a lot of people see us out there, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of folks in the state of Maine that don't have a clue that lead lures or lead jigs and lead fishing weights are no longer going to be viable mm-hmm. after September of 2017. I mean, mm-hmm. it's actually going to be against the law to pick them up and throw one in the water.
Right.
And there's a lot of folks out there that don't even know that still.
Mm-hmm.
We know it. We promote it. Mm-hmm. We've partnered with both IF&W as well as Maine Audubon to try to get that word out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, you at Portland Yacht Services, I mean, you're known for world-class service, and you have boats from all over the world. Bass boats, though, this is something that's really coming into play here at Portland Yacht Services. It has been, but it's even more prominent than it has been before because this is a big business here, and a lot of people are going to the route of bass boats.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a change for us. You know, it started that I went into a club tournament with Rob, and I wasn't going in it for any of the business. My son wanted a fish. But I kept hearing when I was at the tournaments that nobody's helping us out. We can't get our boats back on the water by the next weekend. And I was kind of putting two and two together there. And we already work on big outboards, sometimes triple, sometimes four 250s on boats. So a single 250, that's a walk in the park for us. So it just turned into that. And then because I fish, I'm out there almost every weekend with these guys. I know exactly what they expect when they get their boat back. I know what they need. I know every little detail about it. So I think that helps translate this kind of a barrier between the tech and what the use is. So yeah. I'm that liaison between, yeah. and I'm kind of doing that final check as the boat's going out the door. Mm-hmm. All right, that's tournament ready. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, they call me, Steve's called me.
Jason's had my boat. I've called him from the water. I've called him from out of state.
Yep.
He's done a lot of work on my boat, not because there's anything wrong with the boat I bought, but because of the operator.
Yeah,
I keep messing them up. But that's what they are. You drive them hard, you put them away wet, and when they break down, you need to get them fixed. It's like a stock car or any other sport. You run it hard this weekend, you break it, you got to have it back on the water come next Saturday morning. The sun comes up.
That's comforting, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what's comforting about it is we try to build relationships. Jason has me on staff. I'm not really an employee per se, but I'm out there representing them at tournaments, speaking to anglers. I talk to all types of anglers at the boat, you know, trout fishermen, salmon fishermen, and try to build that trust in them that we can do what they expect and turn it on quickly. It's really, really important.
Mm-hmm. And you work on these engines that we were talking tens of thousands of dollars, some of the Triton boats, some of the Mercury engines, what have you. I mean, it's not uncommon to go up and down Route 26 or the Turnpike, especially this time of year, where technically we're out of the summer season, I guess, but past Labor Day, and people have their boats in the water bass fishing.
Well, we'll fish, like last year, we fished Christmas Eve.
And New Year's Eve.
As long as the water's not hard, we're fishing. And sometimes the water is hard, and sometimes we'll plow the boat ramps because it's that bad. We're addicted that bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, fishing doesn't end now. Fishing is really good.
Fishing is phenomenal now for us bass, you know, for the few diehards of us. Not only is the fishing great, but just the relaxation, the scenery, the pleasure boaters. Not that they're a bad thing, but the lakes are dead quiet this time of year, you know, with the leaves and the scenery. It's our drug, so to say. That's our drug, is being on the water and just enjoying it.
And getting back to the youth now, there are a lot of young boys and girls out there just starting off, and maybe someday we'll see them on the Bass Pro Tour. They go to the junior program, they go to the high schools, they go on the FLW Tour, and then they go up to the professional series. I mean, how do you encourage these kids to get up there and follow those dreams? And some of these kids, just their eyes light up when they see, you know, some of these anglers catch these 5-6-pounders on ESPN on a Saturday morning.
Rob, talk about your club and how it's grown over the years.
So we have a club that's been in existence, I want to say, 8-9 years. And it grew from shore tournaments to we would have a couple tournaments we'd take kids out on boats. But after a while, we got so much interest that we switched entirely to on-the-water tournaments because there was so much interest in it. And nowadays, I have to turn away kids, sadly, because we need boats to take kids out, and there's just not enough people to do that. So it's grown immensely, and it's because of those TV shows and those programs that are out there. You know, we're there to help kids, you know, learn how to fish, learn how to tie, what's conservation all about, how do you approach a tournament, things of that nature. And you'll see some of the cream of the crop will pop up. It's not you can't push someone to want to be a professional. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just inbred in them. My son, I put him in a boat when he was 2 weeks old, and that has been ingrown into him. He is absolutely addicted. It's all he thinks about. It's all he talks about. It's all he wants to do. He fished the main junior program all the way up through high school. I'm going to brag a little. He's been one of the better anglers that came out of the junior program. He was a multi-time state champion, and now he's off on the college programs. He's qualified for national championships through that. His aspiration is hopefully one day to move on to be professional. That's his goal, be in the Bassmaster Classic, make a living at it. So it can happen. We've had numbers of kids. There's several kids that fish in our adult programs right now that are phenomenal. They are the cream of the crop. And like Steve said before, the youth is where It's the only way we're going to grow, and it's the only way we're going to keep the sport going.
I'd say to anybody out there listening, if they've got a child and they think this is something that they want to pursue, you can go to emmybass.com, click on our youth link. Our youth director's information is there. Reach out and contact him. But understand the sport is an expensive sport, and it's kind of like Cub Scouts. It's not funded by anybody but the parents and the child. You've got to come prepared for that because the funding is enormous. Don't be afraid of it. Reach out, talk to us, and let's find out what we're talking about when I say a lot. But, you know, having a boat or having the access to fishing, the equipment you need to compete, you know, it's not something that's provided for you, you know.
Well, largemouth is the most sought-after freshwater fish out there, and more money is being spent on lures on this type of fish. A lot of money goes into the sport of bass fishing, too, Jason.
From the boat to the fishing gear, engines, maintenance, there is a lot of money. But it's really enjoyable to be out there, and, you know, there are a lot. I mean, we buy so many lures and this and that. I think it's the next magic thing that's just going to be it. But it changes every single day, like we said in the beginning. You know, you may not even use that lure for a year, and all of a sudden you pull it out, and it happened to be the stars were aligned right, and it worked.
Cabela's was just recently taken over by Bass Pro Shop for $5.5 billion, to give you an idea, to put an exclamation point on that very subject matter that Jason was just speaking of right there. Is this going to have an impact on the sport here? I mean, the moniker Bass Pro Shops over Cabela's, do you think?
I don't know if it'll grow the sport, but it'll certainly give those individuals that are looking for the fishing equipment a little bit better choice than they've had recently. Yeah. Nothing against Cabela's, but as a hunter, I love Cabela's.
Yes.
As a fisherman, I would drive to New Hampshire or Massachusetts to go to Bass Pro Shops. It's just different equipment.
The mindset is a bit different.
Yeah.
You know, in Bass Pro Shops, but a year ago or a little over a year, bought Ranger bass boats. You know, Portland Yacht's a Ranger dealer, so that change, you know, happened. So they're grabbing quite a market. It's interesting.
I think for the market as a whole, both hunting and fishing, it's going to be a good thing. I would imagine they're going to blend the two. Mm-hmm. They may keep the names, but I think they're going to improve the fishing department in Cabela's. Mm-hmm. And then Cabela's model is going to they're going to fold that over into Bass Pros and help that make that a better department as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be good for just outdoor sports in general.
Yeah. We still have tournaments all year long. You have tournaments from, I guess, the time the water breaks ice right through.
We usually start fishing around the third week of April, and the last tournament I know of right now is scheduled for November 7th. Mm-hmm. However, if the ice isn't out there, you can still buy permits. People will, and they'll continue to fish tournaments until there's ice.
Yep.
And that's a big deal for a lot of people. They look forward to those Saturdays or Sundays coming out. As a golfer would go to a Monday night scramble, you know, we're going out to the water on a Saturday to get that big largemouth bass.
I mean, it's something to look forward to every weekend. I look forward to it. I know these guys look forward to it. I mean,
yesterday there was a gentleman calling around anglers to, there's no tournaments this coming weekend, just to see if he could get enough interest to pull a permit. And sure enough, there is more than enough interest, and particularly with the weather we're having right now, it's just phenomenal.
It is. It's as we say, house money, and here in fall, it's going to be a 75-degree day as we tape this podcast the following day. So if we flip this around, you're going to have a nice day tomorrow to get out there and fish, or being Wednesday.
I'm glad the podcast wasn't scheduled for tomorrow.
Okay. We've got a couple of minutes left. A couple of strategies here. What's casting versus fishing here? What's the strategy, the mindset? Because this is such a mental sport here. You have to have confidence in your lure and yourself here. Casting versus fishing, what do you think?
Well, I think you're kind of applying that to the tournament situation. When you go out fishing, you know, you're just going out fishing for fun. You're just casting at anything you see. In a tournament, you're actually trying to pattern the fish and trying to figure out where they are. So you're not necessarily going out there and just spray casting anywhere. You're picking out a particular perhaps structure or depth or something of that nature. So that's really the difference between...
It's similar to hunting for a deer or chasing any wild game. You're actually looking for them. Sometimes you'll go 30 minutes without even making a cast until you find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then you'll sit there and load up on them.
It's spinnerbait, chatterbait, senkos, topwater frogs, jerkbait. I mean, there's just so much to choose from here. There's just so much, you know, it's not just throwing a line out there. You're talking strategy here about where to go or the time of year or this time of year in the fall, just how deep you're going to be going after the fish.
Rob and I fished last weekend a tournament, and we had two opposite things. We were fishing opposite things, and we both had great results. I had a thought one night, and he had a different thought, and they both worked. And the rest of the field, it kind of didn't work as well.
That's right.
So
yeah, and just the type of rig you put on, Texas, Carolina, Wacky, I mean, what have you, if you're going to use a Senko or...
If you go to the local auto repair shop, the guy's got a toolbox full of tools, and that's what our tackle box is.
There's no wrong answer, though, is there? That's the thing. It's all an individual preference.
Exactly. There's rarely...
The depth, the speed.
Yep. There's rarely a time when everyone will be using the same lure. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
So you start thinking about, we have about a minute left. We're running down technically 2016. We'll fish as long as we can, but you're already thinking about 2017 for bass fishing, aren't we? I mean, I know Jason is.
When's ice out?
All right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A lot of preparations.
Yep. And this is when a lot of our money gets spent, because we get a little stir crazy and we can't go into Walmart without walking out of there with something.
Yeah.
We'll be dragging a boat down to Florida and leaving it here pretty quick.
There you go.
And then we go down there and fish throughout the winter. And my first couple of tournaments, again, will be on Okeechobee next March.
And there'll be winterizing boats at Portland Yacht Services. Yeah. Still plenty of time for that.
There are. There's plenty of time. We had a bunch of bass boats show up yesterday that were done. And I was kind of looking at it kind of funny because, like we said, there's a lot of fishing left.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's a great sport. And we're very lucky to live here in Maine. And they're lucky to get... the bass that we do here. My largest this year was 4.5 pounds. And
beautiful fish.
It's not bad, but I've been humbled by all three of you guys. I know Jason at least a 5.2, and you guys probably hit 6 or 7 pounders all the time, right?
Not all the time. 4 pound is a nice fish. Don't ever be sad with a 4 pounder on the end of your line.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jason Curtis, over at Portland Yacht Services. Thanks for having us here in the Portland Yacht Services series. And, of course, to Steve Wilson, president of the Maine Bass Nation, and Rob Williamson, who is a tournament angler here in the state of Maine and throughout the country as well. So thanks for joining us on the Portland Yacht Services podcast. My name is Norm Karkos, and tight lines, right?
Tight lines.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Yacht Podcast Series. For more information on the boating industry itself, visit us on the web at www.portlandyacht.com.